T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Some new surveys that are out. 54% of Americans would choose lower taxes over happiness. I don't know about that, unless maybe paying lower taxes would make you happy. A new Fox poll says that 70% of respondents supported raising taxes on annual income over $10 million. 65% said they'd favor raising taxes on those making over $1 million a year. So we're talking about taxes and how should the money be spent if, in fact, there would be extra money, or would, if you raise taxes on the rich, would that necessarily mean a tax cut for those that are not? Alan Villar joins us right now, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time with us.
Sure. My pleasure.
So we're asking people with our Blue Runner Red Bean opinion poll, do the rich pay enough in taxes? And those voting online, 60% are saying no, 40% are saying yes. And whenever it comes to something like this, Alan, I try to leave the emotion out of it and just look at it as a business deal. Bottom line, is it better to do this or do that? And when it comes to taxing the rich, is that something that would make people feel better about themselves, while it wouldn't make a substantial difference to either the Treasury or the economy, or would it make a substantial difference?
Well, it certainly has some effects, and they'd be both good and bad. Raising taxes on the rich or on any other group would bring in more revenue, unless you pushed it, you know, the rates really high. And obviously, you could use that revenue to do, you know, various things that might be useful. On the other hand, raising taxes, again, on any group, but particularly the rich, would tend to weaken incentives for work, and particularly for saving and investment. And so there'd be some impact on long-run economic growth. One thing I do think that is worth mentioning is that if you compare these ideas of taxing the rich to the extremely aggressive spending proposals that some Democrats are putting forth, particularly the Green New Deal that we saw last week, it's clear that, you know, taxing the rich, sure, it will bring in some additional revenue. It's not going to be remotely enough to finance those types of spending proposals. I mean, in orders of magnitude, too little. And so if you wanted to do those kinds of spending programs, you would have to do more than just tax the rich. You would have to tax the middle class as well.
Higher than they are now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So a text comes in and says, if it weren't for the rich, no jobs would exist. How accurate or inaccurate or much of a blanket statement is that?
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. I don't know if I'd phrase it exactly that way, but here's the facts. That for labor to be productive, you have to have capital investment. I mean, you think about someone who's going out there and trying to produce things just with their bare hands, you know, with no tools or technology of any kind. They're not nearly as productive as workers are today with the tools that they have available. And so capital investment is financed by saving, and a lot of saving does come from the rich. Yes, of course, people in all income groups can save. But a lot of those funds come from higher income groups. So I think there's a lot of truth to that, that economic growth really does depend in significant part on the savings supplied by high income households.
And I think you'd have to be an extraordinary individual not to be jealous of the rich, because everybody wants to be able to take care of their bills and everything, right?
Sure. I mean, inequality is high in the United States. I mean, both income inequality and wealth inequality, which is even greater. And those both types of inequality have risen in the last few decades. And so, I mean, there is this constant challenge. I mean, how much should the government collect in taxes from that group? Clearly, they have a lot of money. They can't afford to pay. But on the other hand, we do rely on their savings to finance investment. And so some type of balance has to be struck.
I get this text, Alan, that says discussion should touch on government waste and government expansion relative to taxation. I think that's a key text, because I don't know that government has ever really gotten smaller, has it?
No, over the years, government has certainly expanded. And obviously the proposals we've seen from many Democrats would call for further expansion. Of course, even without the new proposals, government spending is set to grow as a share of GDP in the upcoming decades due to the aging of the population and the rising medical costs. Now, you know, that it doesn't necessarily constitute government waste, so that's a separate thing. But we do certainly have an expansion of government.
I think sometimes people conflate government waste with unnecessary spending. It could be a program that is not wasteful, but maybe you could cut. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I think that's really the area that people should be talking about. You know, there are examples, obviously, of just, you know, pure waste where programs don't serve any purpose at all, or where there's just completely unnecessary spending. That's really, though, the smaller part of the issue. The bigger part of the issue, the more difficult thing to figure out, is looking at programs where, yes, they do serve a legitimate purpose. And if you cut them back, there would be some benefits lost. But, you know, is it really worth the cost? Is the federal government the best organization to be doing it, as opposed to the private sector or state and local governments? And those are the things that are really important. And, of course, those are more difficult to kind of reach conclusions on. It is a lot easier to say, oh, you know, let's just cut the waste. Well, yeah, sure, we should cut the waste. But once we've done that, you really then have to tackle the tougher issues.
It seems to me trying to sort out tax policy with the effects on the economy is like throwing a bunch of snakes into a hot frying pan and then trying to sort it out. Because how do you how do you decide about the effect on the economy in terms of capital gains, investment, holes in the treasury, presuming that spending is constant? How in the world do you begin to even sort this out and determine, Alan, if the rich should be taxed more? If they are, is it just going to be a token to placate the people that think the rich aren't paying enough in taxes? Would it really make a difference to the Treasury in terms of what they take in? And bottom line, would there really be room for a middle-class tax cut, or the more you put in the Treasury, the more they're going to spend?
Well, yeah, I think hopes for a middle-class tax cut may be a little misplaced. I know that Senator Kamala Harris certainly has called for that, and I think other Democrats may do the same, and some Republicans too. But you look at the trajectory that spending is on, I think it's very difficult to think that you're going to see a large middle-class tax cut. And again, you know, that spending, it is hard to reverse that trend because you do have the aging of the population and rising medical costs. So, yeah, I think the promises of middle-class tax cuts are often made. They don't always come to fruition, and when they do, it's not always a good thing if spending is left unchecked.
Alan, thank you. I appreciate your time. I hope you come back.
Thank you.
Have a good week, my friend. Alan Viard, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.